is your place. This is where you'll serve America best. Your future's in the sky. You see, the way the Air Force Reserves feel about it, they're fighting and they're flying for the safety of our people at home, our mothers and fathers and our sisters and brothers. America will have overwhelming superiority in the air.
Hey, everybody, this is Colonel Gormley.
Yeah, this is
I'm
Chief
the 507th
Wiseman.
Air Refueling Wing Commander. And sit next to me,
Chief Wiseman, 507th Command Chief.
Welcome to Refuel Radio, and this is episode number...
Four. Yeah, see, we've had so many, I can't keep up with them all.
I know. And I've heard we've got a lot of listeners.
I had one person call me and say that they listened to the full episode. I have one person say they listened to the full episode, which makes me think that there's a lot of people out there that just haven't called me yet. I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen to the full episode. Yeah, since the last episode, a lot has happened, and this is going to be released for our February UTA, so prior to our February UTA.
Correct.
Which is really happening at the beginning of February. It's almost happening in January. The dates are the 1st of February, 1st and 2nd. I think March is the same way.
Right.
I think March is 1st and 2nd.
Yeah.
Normally it falls roughly on the first weekend, which this is, but literally on the first day. Which reminds me, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but so the other day I was with my family in the car and we're all driving and you know, with your family, so you ask questions you wouldn't normally ask, you know, like this. I said, hey, I was talking to my wife. I go, hey, sweetheart, what day does Cinco de Mayo fall on this year? Because I can't remember. Because I remember last year I felt like it was on the 6th. And she goes, what? I go, yeah, what day is it falling on this year? Because it changes every year, I feel like, you know. And she goes, and my daughter even said, Dad, what are you talking about? And I go, how many times do I have to say this? Like, what day is Cinco de Mayo fall on this year? And she goes, if you're not joking, it falls on the 5th like it does every year. I go, how? And then it dawned on me. Cinco de Mayo is the 5th. Didn't dawn. I didn't know that until this past weekend. So just shows you what kind of discussions we have in my household.
Well, I will tell you, time does fly, and I think it catches up really quickly. I can't believe the February UTA is so close. You know, it's interesting. February has a lot of holidays or a lot of times that we kind of see.
Not Cinco de Mayo.
But Cinco de Mayo
is May, evidently.
Not in February. Yeah. I'll write that one down. That's a good point. That's
5th of May, not February.
But we have Groundhog Day. That's in February. We have the Super Bowl, which I think most people kind of understand that.
Remember when it used to fall? Remember when the Super Bowl used to be, I think it was end of December? Yeah, it was like right before New Year's or it was right after New Year's Day. Remember those days?
When was that? The year of our Lord, 1900? I don't remember that.
I'm pretty sure. I can tell you it was never February.
Okay.
It was always like right at the beginning of January. Because I remember New Year's would happen. You'd have all the bowl games. And then the Super Bowl, I felt like, fell right after that.
I wonder why they pushed it to February.
Because they started adding teams and games. And I think the season lengthened a little more.
Yeah. I just know that since I've been in the Reserve Command, Super Bowl's always fallen on the Sunday that I'm trying to commute
you're
home.
You're kidding me.
It's usually what's happening.
Think about that.
Yeah. And so it was always kind of bummed because it's either on the radio or the phone or watching it in the airport. Yeah.
That's wild. So I have not had a commute. Normally, I've lived within driving distance of the base that I've been attached to. And I've not had to fly to commute.
Right.
And that is a great point that probably applies to so many of our people. Because when I say we, the Okies, our wing has 28 states represented. And that's a lot of flights.
That's right.
Home. Which means people are going to be missing the Super Bowl. Wild. Thank you for mentioning that.
And if the Detroit Lions get into the Super Bowl this year, I may get to miss it. I'm not really sure. But you know what's the guarantee?
I'm sorry, why did the Detroit Lions
win? That's just a team that I love.
Oh, I was like, where did
Midwest
that come
team,
from? It's like
Midwest
a Cinco de Mayo story. What?
But I will but I will tell you a guarantee that who's not going to probably make the Super Bowl.
If you say the Cowboys.
I was going to say the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. So I was born Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Dallas-Pittsburgh. 1976. Oh. I was supposed to be Bo John Gormley. Bo John. That was my name.
Can you... Bo John
Gormley. Bo John.
Gormley.
I think B-O. Not even a cool B-E-A-U, like French Bo John. I was going to be like redneck Bo John, which I'm okay with. I grew up in East Tennessee. But so the story goes, we're in the hospital, Richmond, Virginia, Dallas, Pittsburgh. I'm born and my dad immediately hightails it out and goes to the game, to the TV, because they didn't have TVs in the rooms then. Didn't come back for 2.5 hours right after the delivery. And my mom and my grandmother were so upset with him, they changed my name from Bojan, which was evidently agreed upon for weeks, to Matthew John. Signed the birth certificate. Rest is history. I'm now a Matthew John. Yep. True story. Yep. So anyway, I think Bo would have been just fine. I would have been okay with Bo.
Bo is good.
Yep.
I think I'm going to use that as your call sign in my tenure.
What could have been? What could have been? Yeah. You know?
What would have happened if you were named Bo?
A lot of shit would have changed. My wife wouldn't have married me, probably. You know, but no offense to the Bos out there. I'm sure there's a lot of good looking Bos. A lot of good Bos. Yeah. But anyway.
Hey, I want to mention one thing.
Yes.
This really cracked me up today. We were sitting around a meeting for those listeners to get some context. And we were talking about this podcast, and we were talking about different ways to listen to the podcast and all the streaming services out there, Apple, Amazon, Spotify. And then our FM, Mark Scholes, pops up at the table and he says, what channel is it on, AM or FM?
That shows that we're multi-generational in this wing. I just laughed because I was like, right on, Mark.
I wasn't sure what to say. Because I don't know what AM and FM means.
In fact, I thought Spotify was a verb. Like, hey, I'm going to go to Spotify today. Like, what are you going to do? I don't even know what Spotify is. No idea. But I resemble that remark, the AM, FM comment. That was great. That was great.
It cracked me
up. I bet a lot of the kids these days don't even know what AM is.
Yeah, you know? I don't know that answer.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's the station on the in the car anymore, to be fair. But I'm going to go try it out after this podcast. Yep.
But speaking of amazing things, that wasn't a good transition. I was trying to bring Sharon in.
We're gonna
I was going to bring you.
We're not going to edit that portion, though.
I was trying to. I was like, perfect segue. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to segue. But speaking of amazing things, today we'd like to welcome Sharon Lockman to our podcast.
Is it awkward to have only two people clap for you?
I made it sound like three last time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I clapped over here and then I clapped over here.
Oh,
yeah.
That's smart.
But welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's a big deal. Big deal. One day you might say, I know Chief Wiseman. I know him. He's a good friend, coworker. Sharon is our fourth guest. Congrats, Sharon.
Hey.
I know this
big
is
deal.
I know this is random. Fourth guest on the fourth episode.
There you go. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
We've been waiting on this episode. In fact, if I could, I would have started on the fourth episode. That would have been our first one because it's such a big deal. Fourth guest.
February
fourth
is my birth month.
It is.
It wasn't on the list, but it is my birth month.
So it is.
It's a big deal, Sharon.
What's the birthstone of your month? Do you know that answer?
Amethyst.
What does that mean? They all have an evil meaning. Sure. What's that mean?
I thought maybe by asking that question, it'd be engaging, but I have no idea what this is.
I don't either, because I don't like purple.
Oh, is that what that is? Amethyst purple. Yeah, a lot of people know this stuff. Like, oh, I'm a Capricorn, but I don't know the meanings behind all this stuff. And birthstones, birth months, I'm clueless.
Well, I'm a Leo, if that matters. I was born in August.
Leo's a real thing?
That's what they tell me. Yeah.
Leo.
Strong, confident, leader.
It's the lion.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Leo the lion? What?
Yeah, Leo the lion. No.
It's a lion. Leo is the lion?
Isn't it a lion?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Like Taurus is a bull. I'm a fish.
What's a Capricorn?
February is a fish.
February is Pisces.
February
is my birthday.
Pisces is a fish? What?
Yeah, it's the two fish.
Yeah, we probably should have a separate podcast on birth months and stones.
That's amazing.
And other things.
Wow. Okay.
Well, it's really great to have you here, Sharon, and I'm really glad you've made some time to come out to the podcast and entertain at least the five listeners that we do have. Right? That's three
of
us.
If you bring your family, Sharon, we'll have probably seven by next podcast. Yeah. So thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, I
appreciate it.
And what's interesting is that some of the guests that we've had on this podcast, up to you, and this isn't something that we planned, but everyone seems to be retiring, you know, right after. So I think that's kind of an omen. So this is to all the future guests on Refuel Radio. If we choose you, we're not expecting you to retire or leave this wing or leave the Air Force Reserve.
It's not a requirement.
It's not a requirement. This is just kind of circumstantial. But that being said, tell us a little bit about yourself. Before we went on air, you kind of talked about you being here since 1988. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you here to Okie Nation.
So I'm an Air Force brat. My dad retired here at Tinker and we stayed. So I think I always thought about the military because we were part of it. But I didn't like that notion of the Air Force or anybody telling me where I would or would not live.
Right.
So my brother left active duty, came to the reserves, and I'm like, wait a minute, I could be in the reserves and still stay home? And so I did it. So I enlisted in January of 88, and I've been at the 507th this whole time.
Do you think that your family influence, like your family working in the military, really had an influence with you joining the service?
I think so. I mean, like my, like I said, my father was in the military. My grandfather was in the military. So I just felt called to be in the military. Yeah. I mean, like, it wasn't for education. It wasn't for to see the world, because, you know, I'm still at Tinker. I don't know. I just felt it was my calling to do something. And I liked the idea of being able to live the life that I thought I was going to live and still be able to be in the military.
Yeah. Now, Colonel Gormley, is that the same for you? You have family that was in the military, correct?
Nope. Nope.
Really?
I was just about to ask. I wonder if you don't have a family member. I don't have a, I didn't have a father, a mother, or I do have a father and mother, by the way, but I didn't have a father and mother
I was like, wow, that
in the military. It's a long story.
Yeah.
It's a lot like my Super Bowl story. I had no relatives in the military. So you mentioned education. That's why I ended up joining the Air Force. It was ROTC. And I went to University of Alabama for a year and then transferred to the Air Force Academy. But it was all because the places I wanted to attend college were expensive and I needed some help. And ROTC was just one of those things I decided to apply, not knowing what I had I didn't even have an opinion. At least, Sharon, you mentioned having an opinion on, I didn't want someone to tell me where I was going to live. I didn't even know that much. Mm-hmm. I just joined because I thought it was an opportunity. And I'm always one that when I join an organization, I drive myself to complete it. So I was never going to quit. I would keep going. And then inevitably, it sounds like much like yourself, the Air Force, the military offered so many opportunities and you took advantage of them. And I assume and you stayed here because of everything the wing and the people offered. Is that kind of?
I think so. Cause you know, I came in and a year later I got hired civil service in the reserves, you know, as just a civilian. And then
as a TR and you were TR.
I was a TR and a civilian.
Gotcha.
And then eventually became an R. It wasn't the path that I had envisioned. I was not going to be, I don't even think I joined with the intent of staying 20.
Right, right, right.
And it just happened. I mean, and it's definitely the unit.
What was your TR? What was your job?
Initially,
yeah.
I was a personnelist.
Okay, okay.
In a maintenance unit. And then they asked me to be the training manager. So I became a training manager. And then I came over to the maintenance group. Uh-huh. Over to wing and then just transition.
Just out of curiosity, what plane did we have in 88 here? What was it?
The F-4. But it was at the very end. Like came in and I feel like within, like when I graduated from basic and tech school that summer, I feel like that fall was when we converted to the 16. And then I worked in maintenance when we converted to the 135s.
Wow, you were here for 3 airframes. That is amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Did you see a big personnel change when you went from fighters to heavies? Did you see a lot of cooler faces, a lot of cooler people coming in when the tanker showed up?
No offense to the fighter community at all.
I like those guys, but did you see some?
It was a calmer group of people.
Calmer group.
I mean, like, you know, I wasn't really involved in stuff back then, but it was a calmer. The stories were different when we got tankers.
Yeah. Now you were born and raised in Oklahoma?
No, I was born in Texas. We got over, my parents had overseas assignment. Mm-hmm. My mom was pregnant. They wouldn't let her travel. So we went to my grandparents, my grandmother's house in Texas. And then when I was 2 months old, we went overseas. My dad was at Bentwaters, RAF Bentwaters. So we went to England and then some other places, and then he retired here at Tinker.
Got it.
So you went from there, Bentwaters, to here?
No.
Oh.
We went from England to Point Arena Air Station. It was a little place in Northern California. My dad was a comm guy. Mm-hmm. And then he got a remote assignment to the Aleutians, so at Shimia. So we went to Oregon, where we waited while he was there for
home?
A year.
Okay, gotcha.
And then we went to Elmendorf, and then we came to Tinker from Elmendorf.
So wow.
Just did the whole West Coast shuffle.
A real military family.
So you had when you joined, I mean, you really did have, it's funny that back to that conversation, if you don't have a family member, you don't really know what you're joining, kind of like myself, but you knew exactly if you joined what you were getting yourself into. Thus, you decided not to join active duty because of that moving. It that makes sense now. I understand what you're saying because of the remote taking your father away for a year and then going to Oregon probably, and you knew you weren't going to stay there because you're going to immediately PCS when he got home. That must have been, there's a lot there. That's all I'm trying to say. That's a full story.
Younger.
Right.
So
right,
like,
right.
You know, I graduated from high school here and everything.
Right.
So, but I was, yeah, I just didn't like all that. I do uh-huh. Now I wish I would, like now I'd be like, gosh, I could have gone all these places.
Right.
But what kept you, I mean, what kept you here at the 507th? I mean, you know, since 1988.
The people.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely the people. Mm-hmm. We have good people here. I mean, you really have that sense of family. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely the people.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this, I think, on previous podcasts, uh-huh. If not other venues, but culture is everything. And the Oki culture here is mm-hmm. one of the best I've ever seen serving over mm-hmm. the last 25 years.
Agree.
Yeah.
And people, visitors, whether inspectors, evaluations that come through, see that.
Yeah.
They see that heartbeat. Yeah.
And even when I talk to my counterparts, like, you know, if we're at a conference or uh-huh. a telecon or whatever, I mean, when they've come to Tinker, they're just like, man, you got it made. Like, I do. But so, yeah, you can definitely feel it when you visit.
As retirement approaches, what are the things you're going to miss the most? Because 88 to now, that's a few years.
Right.
As I come to the kind of close of my career, too, I only have a couple of years probably left. I think about now when I'm sitting at home and I don't have the uniform to go put on because of a drill or because of a TDY. What do you think you're going to reflect on at home, not going in to do the job?
I think that because I've been here so long, I have so many friends.
Right. You'll always be Noki. Once Noki, always Noki.
They'll still be drilling. So I'm sure I'm going to get a phone call. I wanted to take a cruise so that I could not have any connectivity on the UTA, but that hasn't happened.
It's a great excuse.
Don't call me.
That's a great excuse to go on a cruise. Right. Right.
I'm going to go somewhere with no phone.
Right.
So I still will know what's going on.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Yeah, you're just ready. I mean, because you knew it was time, right? To kind of make that.
I feel like you do. You know when it's time. That's what I've always, even as a career advisor, when people would come in and they'd be like, Sharon, I'm thinking about, I'm like, you're not ready. If you're thinking about it, you're not ready. You'll come in when you know. And then they'll come back and they're like, I dropped my papers. I just knew it. And I'm like, you just know.
I see. That's not the first time we've heard that. I think Senior Skull said the same thing. It was just, he knows it's the right time.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that he's not going to be at home thinking about it and wondering, but he knew that it was the right time for him and his family.
Well, even, you know, I retired on the military side 8 mm-hmm. years ago. And so, like, even then, it was just like, I just felt that I needed that change. Mm-hmm. And so going in and applying on the reserve side, I was blessed to get this job, to stay on as a civilian. But, yeah, I just feel like at all those, you know when it's your time.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, obviously, for your military time. You served quite a bit in uniform, and then you retired, like you said, 8 years ago. And then to turn around and jump back in as an Air Force civilian to support the airmen here at the 507th, absolute thank you. It is always a service to jump into the DOD, mm-hmm. into the military, and help. And even as we appreciate our civilians that tirelessly work every day, you know, Monday through Friday for this mission. I can't thank you enough.
Her position in particular goes more so than just the regular, you know, the civilian that comes in, but airman family readiness. That position in itself is a whole nother level of taking care of airmen. But tell us about how has taking care of families changed? I would love to know that because
I think that's
as I reflect back to Strategic Air Command and back when we had fighters, as tough as those guys are. As we get through to today, how did taking care of families change? How has that message changed over the years?
As a reserves, it's changed so much because, you know, like we had talked about before, it was just, you know, TRs, a couple people that came in on the weekend and kind of ran things behind the scenes. The first Gulf War, you saw a lot of activity. I think that's when it started to grow. When we had this, you know, after post 9/11 is when you started seeing it grow. But again, still at that time, it wasn't a full-time office. It wasn't until 2016 that they brought it on. I think, you know, because of the TAP, pushed having to have that full-time presence. And then it's just grown from there.
Yeah. And for our listeners, TAP is?
The Transition Assistance Program.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And the reason I asked that question is because you mentioned it, the Gulf War, because you had Vietnam and then you had years of some smaller conflicts, but nothing as significant as the Gulf War in the early 90s. And then you had some time still O&W, OSW, but no big until we hit 9/11. Then our deployments, they went so fast, so, and really has not stopped since then.
Right.
Taking care of families has become a significant objective of our leadership and of the wing, because we all know now with this operational, this tempo, this battle rhythm that we live now, without the families, the members can't, they just can't keep going.
Absolutely.
You have to have the family support. So that's why I asked that question, because as we continue down this operational tempo, your office has become more and more and more of importance. It has, because there isn't a leader out there or a member for that matter that's been in for a significant amount of time that doesn't understand it's the family. And in particular, when you're at a retirement and the spouse comes up on stage and gets that pen, we all in the back of our minds are saying that individual should be getting more than just a pin on their lapel, because that's the foundation that keeps the family chucking while the members deployed.
I think too, because even when Sergeant Scholes, when Senior Scholes retired, you know, he had thanked his kids. I thanked my kids when I did my retirement, mm-hmm. because it was like, you know, you come into the military, you make that decision for whatever your reason is. And then in theory, you find somebody, you get married, they buy into the Air Force, right. or I'm going
to
do this.
That's happened in my house. Yep.
And then you have kids and they don't have a choice.
You're right. They're stuck. A great point.
And so, you know, they make that big sacrifice because it's like you were just doing because, you know, we made you.
Yeah. Do you have a story in mind actually over the many years of how you've impacted a family, or there was an event you were at that you were just so excited about, you know, and you saw the joy on kids' faces or the families were getting connected? Is there like a particular event that you can recall that you really enjoyed?
Cinco de Mayo, maybe on the 6th or 7th of last year.
Well, you know, I am a Mexican-American, so we celebrate Cinco de Mayo every day. So probably kudos. The kids understanding deployment ops.
Oh, right.
I think that's the big one. And we partnership with Active Duty to do that.
My kids did that. Yeah, and you did it to this day, they loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Because it just, you know, gives them a little bit of understanding. And when you have them go through that, you know, processing line so they understand, okay, this is what, you know, my parent has to do. They deploy, you know, do some obstacles and then have the welcome home for them. So to kind of give them that feel. I think that was probably the best one we see. I mean, we do the Christmas events. We do the family days. But I think kudos is the one that really
It's a neat idea.
Home.
Yeah, it was a neat idea. And for all those families that are listening, that is an event that happens yearly, and they use the 507th campus to include aircrafter here, and each child goes through a mock deployment line, and it's just, and they get their bags and their dog tags, and it's they go all out. They go all out, and there are different chalks, and anyone who's deployed knows what that means, the chalks. So there's probably about 6 or 7 different groups, each made up of about, I don't say 10 to 20 kids. And my kids did it, and I was overwhelmed at the amount of support that each 552, the 72nd, and the 507th had a senior leader, and it was the command chief or the commander that would come in and lead that chalk and get the kids hyped up. And so I understand why you point that one out. You bet.
It's really a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Right. What challenges do you foresee in the future with family support? But meaning, I would anticipate these deployments to continue. Mm-hmm. Where are the areas that we should be focused on, or challenges do you see? I mean, money's always going to be something. You know, we always need funding. We always need resourcing. But where do you see the biggest? Where should we put our effort? If you could right now, what switch would you flip to help in what way?
I think that it's the same. I don't say problem, but the same struggles that we've had is just that connectivity. Like you said, with 28 different states, it's hard to reach every home. And sometimes, you know, with our single airmen, it's hard for them. You know, they kind of feel like, well, I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to stay connected because I'm not married. Right. You're just talking about families and not understanding that that could be their parents or, you know, during a deployment, who's watching stuff while you're gone. So I think the connectivity is trying to get people to understand that it's okay. We reach you at home because, you know, we're not trying to track you down. We're just trying to help you out. And then making sure, I think, you know, just making sure that the families know the resources that we have here available to them between, you know, military and family or the DPH or, you know, the chaplain that they can use and just the resources that we have. And if we, you know, I usually will, when we talk about mental health, I'm always like, well, we have our DPH, but maybe you don't want your business in-house. So we have the MFLAX or the Military Family Life Counselors that are available to you. But, you know, maybe you're not at Tinker. Well, we have Military OneSource. So understanding that even if you're not at Tinker and you can't come to the base to do it, we can find things. We can find places in your community, things that are close to you, maybe a base that you're closer to, things like that.
So well, if I could put in a plug, because you kind of mentioned our DPH and bringing help to our members, over the next few months, we're going to be test trialing a mental health application on our phones. And I'm going to be asking for volunteers. It's one of the few ways that I found that connectivity you just mentioned between the 507th campus and family here and our members that are in those 28 different states. And this is one of the few ways that I'm not sure it's going to be successful. I hope it is. But we did have a suicide in our wing over the last year. And Chris Schumacher will never be forgotten. And I'm trying, or we are trying our best to bring tools, whatever tools are out there, to our members to help them. And I just want to put a plug in for that mental health application because we're trying to get volunteers to help us trial that for the next 6 months. But I think it's analogous to what you're kind of referring to. Wherever that member is, what can the 507th bring to that member to help them? Whatever it might be. It's not just mental health. It could be all kinds of things. Because that's kind of what your business is, right?
We do a lot. I mean, resume help, financial counseling, things.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of facets, not just mental health. I mean, we work with that as well, but just trying to get those life skills. You know, we work with the resiliency office. We're strong with that as well.
So if a part of this podcast is another avenue that we're trying to connect with airmen and their families, just because of the vast distances that everyone is at. So if we have some family members listening right now that, you know, aren't necessarily assigned here at Tinker, they're out at, you know, Illinois, Florida, Arizona, you name it. How do they get a hold of your office? Since we've been kind of talking about these services of resume building, some of the life skills that you guys help provide or connections into various other Military OneSource options, how can they directly reach you guys?
Well, we have the homepage for and our Facebook page that can reach out to that.
And what's the Facebook page or homepage? Like, is it just like 507tharw.af.mil. Okay, great. And there's a link in there that's pretty obvious, I assume. Okay.
Yeah, we're in there with the helping agencies. Yeah. I don't know. They managed to find us because we get a lot of phone calls.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that like everyone kind of knows, like I can go on the website or go on a whatever app, you know what I mean? And then reach out directly to your guys' office if they're like, I need help with a resume. Right. I can't find a job.
And this is for family members too, right?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Just so family members know this. Okay. Retirees. Okay.
Military and family readiness is, we take care of all branches and military members, veterans,
all branches.
Yes.
So do you also do stuff like with LinkedIn? So like, for instance, I have a profile, but I've also had to go get some help on, you know, refining it a little bit.
He's a big deal on LinkedIn. If you haven't looked.
Yeah, right.
It's easy to find him.
But those are kind of things that you guys kind of navigate and help them with?
We don't have, in the 507th, we don't have classes, but the active duty actually has a LinkedIn class.
Yeah, so you can direct them to the right agency to help them find a job or get connected.
And we have a really good working relationship with our active duty counterparts and then with our Air National Guard out at Will Rogers. So yeah, we offer classes on LinkedIn or resume.
That's great to know.
USA
I didn't
jobs.
Know that.
Yeah.
That's okay. Really great. That's great to know. And there are so many positions on this base, on the civilian side, especially with the OCALC and the AFSC. Our 507th is a smaller entity on this base. And there's so many opportunities here that we, when I say we, the family readiness or this our wing can help them with.
Yeah.
That's important to know.
So given your longevity here at the 507th, what is something you want us to all know about family connections and how do you think it contributes to our ability to be ready now?
I think with, especially when we talked about the ops tempo that we have now, that's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And just reaching out, understanding, I think the most important part for anybody, any supervisor, any person, is just getting to know the people that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting to know your coworkers, getting to know the people you supervise so that you have an understanding of what their family needs are and you build that relationship that if they have a problem that they're coming to you before it becomes a crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get a lot of that. And just relaying the resources that are out there or how you can. If I don't know the answer, and there's a lot of answers that I don't have, I'm going to reach out and find someone mm-hmm. and make that connection that way. So I think that's the big part is know your people and, you know, just get a feel because it is difficult when they live five states mm-hmm. away.
Well, that's really great. This is good information. And I'm hoping that, you know, if folks are listening or even happen to stumble onto this particular episode, if they're in need or want some kind of connection, that they're going onto that website, our Facebook page, and they're making contact.
We have the resources.
Your agency.
That's it. We absolutely. Have the resources to help, regardless of the situation.
Or we can find them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, your name is synonymous with helping here. Every time I say that, you look down like you don't need the credit, you don't want the credit, but obviously your office, you've been in there a few years and what you've done to bring that office to the forefront is phenomenal. Your name is, it's known everywhere. It's just known everywhere. And I go to the active duty side, they know you well. So on behalf of all the airmen, and I know they, I'm sure you've gotten many people coming up to you saying how sad they are to see you go. But like you said, if you know it's time to retire, you know, and go on a cruise and get away, then you know it's time to retire and go on
right,
a cruise.
Right.
But on behalf of everyone, thank you so much. You're one of the first folks I met here was you. And you are the epitome of why this place has the culture it has.
Yeah.
Truly. You absolutely are.
Yeah. Thanks
it's
again.
It's been great to be here.
Yeah. Thanks again for being on this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is episode 4. It's another successful episode. We probably picked up a good 2 or 3 listeners. So I can only imagine what the next episode is going to do. But it's always a pleasure to be here. I'm glad we're doing these.
Yeah.
This has been a fun time getting these together. So,
all right. But, well, I look forward to next episode.
You bet. Thanks so much again, Sharon, for coming. And God bless and good luck in the future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We will see everyone on the flip side. Number 5's coming shortly.
We out.
See ya.
We're fighting today and tomorrow and the next day until we win is a war of the air.